How many love the Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I love the Bible.
Yes.
I love the Bible.
Yes.
Miss Shirley, are you going to interpret the whole sermon? You know why? I love the Bible. And sometimes the Bible can be a little complex for me. Some things are not so easy to understand, and then other things are very easy to understand. And the Lord makes it real plain to us in Scripture that many times when I hear debatable doctrine, people want to spend all their time debating on things that don't matter. And I don't like that. That's not what I do. So Lord, what is it that I need to do in your love letter to me? What is it that you want me to know? And I don't want to read anything complex that makes me have a big question mark in your mind. Have you ever read the Bible and you go, I don't really know what that means exactly. But a lot of people like to spend all their time on those items. Not me. What I need the most is, if I can make it simple, is a place in the Word where I can just eye level, I can reach out and grab it. I don't have to bend down too far to get it. It's always right there where it's in plain view. I can understand it. I can be encouraged. And the Lord makes it plain that that's where He wants me to be. He doesn't make it too high on the shelf where I can't reach it. I don't like that. So Lord, where is it that you want me to be? Right here, where you can see it. Well, what is it that you want me to get out of your Word? I'll tell you when you read it. Because the Bible does say, by the way, study to show yourself approved. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. So sometimes, Lord, I just need, just put it right there where I can get it. I don't want to make it complicated. Just get me to where I need to be. And you know where I go most of all when that's in my mind? Psalms. I love the Psalms. The Psalms are great. When you need encouragement, go to the Psalms. When you're encouraged, go to the Psalms. When you're healthy, go to the Psalms. When you're not healthy, go to the Psalms. Y'all get it? See if y'all are awake. So it's where I go. And many times, as your preacher, I've been preaching for a while, it's usually a preacher shares what the Lord has put on his heart, and he shares it. And this is part of my devotion, and it was so powerful this week. You know, sometimes a preacher goes, he agonizes on what to preach. And if somebody asked me to preach right now, to preach at 4 o'clock, guess what my answer would be if I didn't have any other engagements? Yes! Because I don't know how long I'll have to deliver a word of encouragement through the Word of God. So I'm always on standby. And a preacher always told me, Pastor Bill Clinton, that if you hear a sermon and the preacher stops and you say in your mind you just could have used a little bit more, it's a good sermon. And that's what y'all do today. I could have used a little bit more, maybe next week. Don't give it all away, but this is a short psalm, 111, 10 verses. Somebody said, well, you know, I don't have time to read the Bible. Wrong. 10 verses, you know how long it takes? And a lot of times when you read the Word, the Lord will stop you right there on that verse, that one verse that you need to get through your day. Are they having a party back there? So I wanted to share Psalm 111 with you. It's real simple. It's right there on that shelf. See, I don't have to strain to get there. I love it. I love the love letter that God has written us. Why don't we read it more? And I'm preaching to myself because I don't read it enough. And if you're honest, you'll say the same thing. I've never met an honest Christian that said, I read the Bible too much or I pray too much. Boy, I need to learn how to pray more. And sometimes God gets me to a place of humility and of brokenness and of challenges in life to get me closer to Him. Oh, I'm hard-headed. How many of you are a little bit hard-headed, Rachel? I'm glad I'm not the only one. Thank y'all for not leaving me. So Nancy gets in. Thank you, Nancy, for sharing the truth. I'm a little bit hard-headed sometimes, or I'm a little bit busy. Well, too busy to read God's Word? Wrong answer. I've gotten letters from my mom when I was a boy that I still have. Letters in the mail. My mom handwritten them. No emails. Stamps. Tears on the pages. Crumbly. I still read them today. I didn't just go, before I opened it, go, I'm sure it's a nice letter. My mom wrote me. I didn't see her address. Put it in the drawer and not read it? No way! First of all, it would hurt her feelings, wouldn't it? It would hurt her feelings if I didn't read my mother's letter. I still have one. I wrote her when I was 17. She wrote me back. Oh, man. I still have it in my scrapbook. And still today, it means something to me. And Psalms 11, it's just real simple stuff. I'm going to encourage you. It says, and I like the psalmist, David. You know, David had a lot of flaws. He had a lot of shortcomings. Everybody wanted to change him. His enemies were looking for him all the time. He was hiding in caves. He had a lot of trouble. And he sinned. He committed every sin in the book. Uh-oh. I'm a good person. Wrong. The Ten Commandments say you're not. Because if you lied once, you're a liar. If you've stolen, you're a thief. If you've looked at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. Are you a good person based on the commandments? So that's why we try to make Jesus make sense. Why did he die on the cross? To save you from your F-I-N's. But David, he didn't matter what he was sinning or not. He always praised the Lord. And he always gave thanks where he should give thanks. And that's what God was doing in his life, whether he was in a cave or as the king. It does that every time when I preach. Oh, it didn't do it all the way. I must be doing something wrong. But you know, wherever you are in life, start out with the first verse. Praise the Lord! Exclamation mark! That's all he says. Praise the Lord! I love how he starts his prayer. What do you mean, praise the Lord? I'm in a cave. What do you mean, praise the Lord? I'm in the hospital sick. What do you mean, praise the Lord? I've got all these financial problems. What do you mean, praise the Lord? I've got all these family problems. What do you mean, praise the Lord? It says it right here. Praise the Lord. So turn to your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. I'm done, y'all. Thank you very much. Anyway, that was Moses talking. Y'all see my Moses doll? That's pretty cute. That's how we teach children. That's how we teach children the commandments. He'll speak them on.
You must not kill. Do not commit adultery. You must not steal.
That's pretty clever. Thank y'all for the encouragement. And so he says, praise the Lord. What else? I will give thanks, say thanks, to the Lord with all my heart, not just a little chunk of it that's convenient for you. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord for being in a cave, for having those enemies that want to kill you, for having all the troubles that you're having. Whether you're the king of Jerusalem and have everything you want, or you're the poorest person on the block, praise the Lord, give him thanks with some of my heart. No, it's whole heart. See, God is very jealous, y'all. He's very jealous, God. He don't want to share your heart with anybody. You know why? Because he made it. He's bigger than it. And he created it for his glory so you can have fellowship with him. He's a very jealous God. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright. Listen right here, in the congregation. Look! Hey, that's where I am. She's going, yeah. That's where I am. I'm in the congregation. And I'm praising the Lord with you. For the righteous. What makes you righteous? Good works? No, I can do those. Well, I'm full of good works. I'm full of them. I got more good works than I can carry. But good works doesn't get anyone to heaven. Aren't you glad? Somebody said, well, I said, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, yeah, I do all these good things. Really? Name a couple. They name a lot of good things. Well, how would you know when your good works is enough good works to get to heaven? I like to make people ponder over their salvation. You said, good question. I said, did you know heaven is a free gift? F-R-E-E. That means free. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift from God. Faith and repentance is the ticket to heaven. Great are the works of the Lord. Say great. Great are the works of the Lord. What is he doing? Studied by all who delight in them. Do you delight in the Lord today? Do you delight in him? It says, to all those, delight in them. Turn to your neighbor and say, I delight in the Lord. I've been pondering since I got up this morning. I was like, but I delight in the Lord. And I got a lot of issues in my life. And I don't like it when people try to change me if I want to be like the Lord. I don't know what that's for, but I want to be like Jesus. And when people try to change me because of my flaws and shortcomings, I get sensitive to it. Because if I want to be like Jesus and you're trying to change me, hello, do you have a Bible at home first? And maybe you should start working on yourself second. I'm the first one to admit it. Preachers, hey, I got a revelation. Preachers are not perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say, shh. What are you laughing at? Isn't that right, Pastor? Full of splendor and majesty. He's just full of splendor. He's full of splendor and majesty. I was driving the van over here to do our service, but I just look up at the sky. There's no clouds today. But it was the brightest blue. It was the brightest blue canvas I've ever seen. And then when God chooses to put paint on his canvas, it comes out on that blue sky. It may be clouds. It may be dark clouds. It's still his canvas. And it says here, the psalmist says, full of splendor and majesty is his work. God wants to be glorified in this passage. And he wants to be glorified through your life. He just wants your praise. He just wants your thanksgiving, no matter what you're going through in your life. And you know what? The victory is praising God in the valleys. Have you ever been in a valley in your life, a dark spot? That cave or John the Baptist, a dungeon experience? My. Dungeons are not very attractive. Back in those days, it's a nasty place. But John the Baptist, when he was in that dark place, he still had faith in the Lord. The Lord is full of splendor and majesty. And his righteousness endures forever. Does his righteousness or his mercy ever diminish because you do bad? No, God never changes, y'all. He never changes. God is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know what will change? I have a tendency, because I'm human. Is anybody listening to the message not human? Say amen. We got one non-human. So I got two non-humans going once, going twice. You're the only non-human in it. Give her some encouragement. She's an alien. And she admitted it. But, you know, I like to take photographs. His splendor and his majesty in his work and his righteousness endures forever. You know, he doesn't turn his back on me when I do wrong. He doesn't turn his back when I stumble and fall, when I ain't doing the right thing at the right time. You know, he understands my flaws. He wants me to repent. He wants me to be in humility. But his faithfulness endures forever. Aren't you glad you worship a God that never changes? Boy, because your circumstances will change, 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 change. You've had money, you have money, you have been sick, been healthy. I mean, you have, you know, it's a monthly thing. Life is short. And somebody said, well, how old you are? I said, well, I prefer to say I'm just one day closer to seeing the Lord. Thank you. Somebody asks you how old you are. I'm one day closer to seeing the Lord. How are you? I'm one day closer to seeing Jesus. I'm so looking forward to it. But in the meantime, I'm a photographer, in case you didn't know, amateur. And I live on a loft downtown Atlanta, 5 stories. We got a patio on the top floor with our barbecue pit, and I'm looking at the downtown city skyline of Atlanta. And so sometimes at sunset, I'll peek through my blinds if I'm working, and guess what I'll see? I'll see the most radiant, the most vivid fuchsias and yellows in this sunset, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So guess what I do? I grab my camera and go up and see if I can get me a good photo. If you go to my Facebook page, look under my albums under sunset, you'll be amazed like the psalmist at his splendor. And sometimes I think God just made it for me. Out of the billion people in the world, that God just painted that canvas for me. Because I know that so many billions of people don't see what I see. So you can't help but say, look at his splendor. And he does it just for his own glory, but he wants to share it with you. Will you let God share his splendor, his glory with you today?
Yes.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. See, I remember them. I just remember coming over here, seeing the blue sky, the pollen in the air. No, well, maybe not that part. But the sunset. What do you remember about your life that you remember God was working and you saw his splendor? Maybe it was in a dark spot in your life. Stay on the Lord, even through your dark times. You'll find him. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. He wants you to remember what he's done for you. And so when people tell you, what has the Lord done for you? Have an answer for them. So, well, you know what? I got this and this and this. Yeah, I know you have all the troubles and trials and tribulations, but what is God doing in your life? And he says, the Lord is gracious, say gracious. And the Lord is merciful, say merciful. Whoa, mercy, I can preach all day long. Have mercy on me, O Lord, have mercy. The only person that gets mercy is one who asks for mercy. And when you ask for mercy, you know that you sinned against God. You can't forgive yourself. Nobody can get you to heaven. So God, have mercy on my soul, a sinner. Apostle Peter, that's how his salvation prayer was, have mercy. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a wicked man. That's the ones that the Lord likes. He'll come to a person that admits his sin. Oh yes, when his son died on the cross for your sins that you could spend eternity in paradise, he loves that. Have mercy on me. He listens.
Amen.
He'll listen to that prayer. I guarantee you in the Bible he listens to those prayers. Now the ones he doesn't listen to, the preachers I see on TV a lot, they say, oh God, give me a bigger house and a bigger Cadillac. Where's that in the Bible? Huh? No, pray for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Is something I need? And you may need it too. Self-control. But I need all those fruits. I need all that fruit. I need all the love that I can get. Lord, help me love somebody. Forgive me for my tongue when I say something wrong at the wrong time. But when you ask for the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of Jesus, man, God says yes, yes, yes.
Why wouldn't God give you more love? Why wouldn't He give you more patience? Who said hallelujah the other day? Was it somebody when she was singing said hallelujah? Was it one of y'all? Hallelujah. If you want to say hallelujah, this is the place to do it.
Hallelujah.
I know some of y'all want to shout sometime. Y'all can feel free to worship any way you want in our chapel service. If you want to say amen every now and encourage me, that's fine too. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works. I mean, think about the things that God can do and did. And stuff He hasn't even done yet. And I can read the back of the Bible, and I know what He's going to do. But I can read the Old Testament and know what He did. He performed miracles in front of people. He can split the Red Sea and let His people through to freedom, and then drown the whole Egyptian army. Then He can still work miracles in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, God still can part the Red Sea. You may have a Red Sea in your life you need crossing. Mm-hmm. Oh yes. And somebody and I was witnessing somebody, and this guy says, "Yeah, I don't believe that Bible stuff." I said, "Well, what do you don't believe in it, man?" He said, "Well, that drowning the whole Egyptian army thing. I mean, that was only knee deep water. He didn't split no Red Sea." And I said, "Hold on. The Bible says, be quick to answer everybody that has an objection to your faith." And I said, "That's even a bigger miracle. You mean He drowned the whole Egyptian army in knee-deep water? That's even a bigger miracle." Y'all will get that one tomorrow. God is in the miracle-making business still. And the biggest miracle, I think today, is in my own heart. My heart needs change, and it always does and always will, until I'm redeemed in the sight of Jesus. And He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into a place I prepared for you." That's my hope. And for a Christian to have hope, it's not hoping for good weather or hoping that the pollen will decrease. Your hope is in what God says in His Word is true, and that one day... Or repent and or you perish anyway. Thank you, man. Every time at 3 o'clock I'm preaching it, it goes like that. It's just a preacher thing. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works. Look around, y'all. Look around. I mean, I love to see how God is operating in other Christians. That's what really, really, really amazes me. When I first came to this ministry, I had two options: to come here Wednesday by myself, which would have been okay. Or I had a Saturday that I could bring a lot of my Christian brothers and sisters with me. And that's where God wanted me to be. He didn't want me to be a lone ranger. He wanted me to share my blessing that He put on a silver platter. Silver platter. I love, yes, Lord. More silver platter, Lord. It ain't a bigger Cadillac. I drive a car that's 21 years old, needs a lot of work. Oh, I'm going to sure. But the spiritual blessings, I want to share them with the people that serve with me and give them the cookie. That's what God has called me to do. So I said, Saturday is fine. It was my only Saturday off, too. I knew God was in it, taking away my Saturday. Yes, Lord. Isn't it always yes, Lord, though? If it's a no, Lord, something's wrong. The Bible says it's always yes, Lord. I mean, what could the Lord tell you to do that you would say no? None. More presence. Good answer. The works of His hands are faithful. Aren't you glad He's faithful? You know, the Lord, I'm just reading the verse over. The works of His hands are faithful and just. You know, the Lord, here's some encouragement for you. He's always faithful, even sometimes you are faithless. Sometimes we drift off the path. Let's be honest. The Bible says we'll drift off the path. I mean, Christians say, "I got it all figured out, man. I said, look at my angels wing." I said, come on, man. I said, the Bible says that we're all like sheep and have gone astray. You're not a sheep. That we all need Jesus day to day, minute to minute, hour by hour. And if you're off the path, listen to His voice, because real sheep hear His voice. And you know what? Real sheep are inclined to hear the shepherd. Real sheep do. The shepherd says, come home. And real sheep go, yes, master. I've drifted away over here because the grass looked really good over here. Well, yeah, that's the old Ross. That's the old Ross. That's not the new Ross in Christ. That's what I used to do. And it still comes. Who is that guy? That's the devil and his demons. Hey, you ever been tempted before? No? Okay, y'all got to figure it out. Jesus was tempted, and it's not a sin to be tempted. I'm a single minister. You think I get tempted every day? But through the power of God's Spirit, the very Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, if I surrender that to God like Jesus surrendered it when He was out in the wilderness, God will take care of it. When I fail is when I don't surrender it. And Jesus was hungry too, by the way. He had eaten for 40 days. So, hey, look at this bread. Aren't you hungry? Of course He was hungry. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He was fully flesh, and He was hungry. And I guarantee you, the devil didn't come to Him one time out of 40 days. That's what you read. I'm sure the devil came several times a day. Yeah, He don't give up. And neither will we. Because we have the power that's greater than any of that. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy. What is precepts? His law. So when you read the Bible, know that they're trustworthy. They are established forever and ever. How long is forever and ever?
Forever and ever.
How long is forever and ever? Long time. We're all going to die someday. And I've been to a lot of funerals the last several years. The Lord has taught me a lot about my own mortality. You know what He's taught me about going to all these funerals? And you know, there's people that have died early. Wait a minute. They were just getting started. They just had their dreams ahead of them. Why are you taking them out now? God doesn't promise us tomorrow, does He? See, He's true to His precepts. He said today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Turn to your neighbor and say, I may not have tomorrow. You know, when I drive the vans, I got a lot of encouragement from my team members because I go the speed limit. Imagine that, me abiding by the law. Because people that drive fast, they make me nervous. Hey, you know, we can expedite our death by being foolish. You feel me? So just go to the speed limit. Just chill out. No hurries. I don't think Jesus ever ran anywhere, do you? Trust in the Lord. The works of His hands are faithful and just. His precepts are trustworthy. When you read the Bible, know that that's the letter of the Lord speaking to you. And at your disposal, you have it any time you want it. Any time. Forgive us, Lord, for not being faithful to Your word. They are established forever and ever to be performed. Uh-oh, here's a little, you know what that is? A little conviction. So, I don't know. I can say it. He said, okay, if my precepts are trustworthy and they're established forever and ever, and you say amen to it, they are to be performed. That's my preacher voice. Performed. You get it? They're to be performed with faithfulness. What does that mean in your life as a Christian? What does faithfulness mean? It's just doing what God tells you to do. Being faithful is when God says go.
You go.
You go.
God says go, He means go.
You're going to be faithful. Amen. I know my front row ameners. This is Reverend Ross's revival row right here.
Amen.
Sorry.
Amen corner.
You got to have an amen corner. These tickets are expensive too, I guarantee you. Oh, do we invoice later?
Yes.
Okay. And as I close for the second time, let's just be faithful, y'all. That's what it says. Let's say, yes, Lord, you read His Word. You're faithful to do it. It may be something simple. It may be a word of encouragement to someone. It might be praying for someone. It may be something small. That's between you and the Lord. But read them. Be faithful to Him. And He'll bless you. Not in material things. Don't you want to be blessed in your heart where God lives? And if your heart is deceiving you today, I have good words for you. Don't be discouraged. God is bigger than your heart. Because your heart, I promise you this, will let you down. It will deceive you. But God is bigger than that. Hallelujah. Some of my Baptist costume comes out at me now. He sent redemption to His people. How did He do that? Does He want everybody to be saved? Yes! Hallelujah! He wants everybody to be saved. It says in His Bible, God doesn't take pleasure in punishing the wicked. And Peter says, it's God's will that all come to repentance and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that everybody go to heaven. That's His character. But I always say, well, I know that's not true because a lot of people are dying and going to hell. Oops. You don't mention that word anymore. I bet Pastor Clinton and his generation, they mentioned it a few times. But you won't hear the consequences of dying in your own sins after Jesus Christ paid the penalty in full for your sins. Well, you can experience not the love of God, but you will experience the wrath of God. After His perfect sacrifice, after what His Son went through for us, He was scourged and disgraced, naked on a cross. They beat Him unrecognizably. They didn't even recognize Him. He was beaten so bad. God hated sin so bad. And He's so righteous that He punished sin through His sinless Son that knew no sin. When I think about that, it makes me not want to sin even though I am. Even though I fall short. And we'll close for the what, third time? Okay, here we go. I've got one and a half more verses. Holy and awesome is His name. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is awesome. And turn to your other neighbor and say, holy is His name. That's all He wants to hear from us today. He's not asking anything from us. He just wants us to glorify His name. He has commanded His covenants forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Even in the hospital, holy is His name. I've been in some emergency rooms. I've seen some pain, experienced some pain. Lots of pain. You know, when you have lots of pain and you have to wait, you got to go. You can go no place except to the Lord when you're hurting in an ER. Holy and awesome is His name. Yes. Through the dark times, yes. Holy, yes. Wherever you are, yes. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Is that free? It doesn't cost you anything, or you don't even have to exert any energy to say, praise Your name. Holy is Your name, Lord. He likes it. Turn to your neighbor and say, God likes it. I don't think He has the same dentist.
Amen.
She needs another kid.
Last verse, 10. See, I told you Psalms is 10 verses. I just expound it. I put a little cookie on it. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear doesn't mean hiding under the table. You know, hiding from God, fearing Him. It means just the awe and the reverence
that he deserves from his children that know his Son is Savior. And if you start fearing God in that awe, that reverence, and his majesty, and his power, and his glory, you want to be wise? Start fearing God. It says it right here in 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. He ain't finished with us yet. So when you hear in the beginning, that's just, he's just starting. And you go, well, I'm getting to the end of my life. Well, everybody's at the end of their life, really. I mean, when you're born, you start to die. You can live to 100 or 50 or 20. People are dying early. People are dying old. He said, it's just the beginning of wisdom. Give me more wisdom, Lord. If you pray, pray for wisdom. Wisdom is getting the knowledge from God's Word and applying it to your life. What good would it be for me to read something and go, oh, that sounds good. Oh, that's a good sermon. Okay, go back to something else. That's not wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. And boy, do I need some. All those who practice it, oh, look at this. Here's the condition. Here's the favor. There's the blessings. Here comes the blessing train. Say it to your neighbor. Here comes the blessing train. All those who practice it have good understanding. See, we talked about being on the middle shelf where you can reach it. Not over here where you can't reach it. And it's not down there where you have to strain. He just put it right out there for us to be encouraged by. All those who practice it have a good understanding. In the last sentence, say the last sentence. Say it. I know y'all don't. His praise endures. Y'all are good. Y'all are real good. Y'all come over here and help me preach. His praises endure forever. So be encouraged by these words. No matter where you are, what you've done, no matter if you drifted off, if you're in the dungeon, you're not healthy, you're healthy, you're rich, you're poor. Always give him the awe, the reverence, the praise, and you can always, as the psalmist said, thank him for something in your life, no matter what your problems are. And I know this for a fact. When I start to complain, have you ever complained before?
Once.
The ninth commandment says all liars will perish. When I feel myself start to complain about the Lord says, hold on. And he takes me back to the times I've gone to a nursing home. And the times I've seen people struggling in the hospital or in bad, bad shape and have it so, so much worse than me. He takes me back to those times. And the only thing I can do is bow down and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for complaining. I mean, yeah, I have some troubles, but nothing like that person. Forgive me. So always praise him. Always give him thanks. Always fear him. Always read his word. Do what it says. Be faithful. And read Psalms. 10 verses. It takes you 10 minutes. Well, maybe it takes a long time to preach it, but you can read it in 5 minutes. And God will never, ever, we're going to do this. God, say this. God will never, ever. Never, ever. Ever, never, ever, never, ever, never. Let you down. He will never let you down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, wow. It's just like your word is a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. It always is. And I'm excited about it. I am. But I don't want my personality or my energy to get in the way of what your word says. I hope I've presented it in a clear, concise way, in a way that will help someone through whatever day it is for them, that this psalm, how simply written it is, can help us. It's very simple. And thank you for letting me present it to this wonderful congregation. And if there's anybody listening to my voice that has never been, as the Bible says, been born again, I pray that not my personality or energy, but that the Word would bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if they have questions about, well, how do I be saved? What does that mean? Have them go to one of our ministry partners after the service. And Father, for all of us who are sheep, we're already saved. We've already been born again. Let this wonderful Word inspire us, encourage us, and equip us to be more like Jesus Christ, your wonderful Son that died in our place to set us free from the law of sin and death. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we give you all the glory and honor. And all of God's children said,
Amen.